Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Charlie Long in studio. Bob, the news that we talked about yesterday, got a little bit of word early this morning. This looked to be going down, but Justin Simmons, the free agent safety who the Saints brought in last week for a visit and sit-down dinner and a smooch deal, decided he would take a one-year, $8 million deal. $7.5 million of the $8 is guaranteed. So
it was basically just guaranteed this season.
Yeah, so what is that, 94%?
Yeah,
just doing
yeah.
it quick in my head.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range if you you average it out. And he decides to sign with the Falcons. And within 36 hours now, Falcons defense look a little bit better, as you could say, acquiring Matt Judon for a third-round pick and signing Justin Simmons for a one-year, $8 million deal.
Well, just to break down those two players and the significant impact and how they viewed around the NFL. Mike, right now the Falcons are all in. You know, they're putting all their chips in the middle of the table, and no, they don't want to go like seven straight seasons not being in the postseason. So they're all in. Now, I think our defense is still better than the Falcons' defense, except at safety now. Mike, you said this, they might have the best duo safeties in the whole NFL.
Bob, and the numbers back it up. Pro Football Focus, and as you always say, them statisticals
right.
sort of back it up. When you combine the interceptions and forced incompletions amongst safeties in the NFL since 2019, who's number one? Justin Simmons with 51. Guess who's two? Jesse Bates III with 47.
And they both bring that stability at safety. Mike, the closest thing we had to that, and I think this is even better, when we had Marcus Williams and Malcolm Jenkins. Now I think we got better cornerbacks, our D-line's better, our linebacker's better. But on the offense, no. You look at
quarterback, running back,
receivers, offensive line. Yeah, so no, that's going to be interesting what's going to come about, because you know, I always say, no matter how good you are or how bad, let's say, the Falcons are, or how good you think the Saints are, or vice versa, that I always say, since a rivalry type game, you got to split it. Mike, you very seldom in these type of games say, oh, are we going to sweep Atlanta or are they going to sweep us? No, right now I'd say this is a big win for the Saints if we can just go one for one. I don't care if you're winning in Atlanta or you're winning in New Orleans, but can you win one of those games? But, Mike, it makes sense for Justin Simmons. Now, the question I would have, did we offer him the same amount of money or the same type of contract and he chose Atlanta? I play with a number of African-American players and they love Atlanta, Georgia. Do you know, besides Los Angeles, where all professional football players tend to live? You know, like, okay, you can live wherever you want. Now you kind of train year-round. Los Angeles was one. Atlanta was two. Like Terrell Owens, he never played with the Falcons. Guess where he lived? Atlanta. They all live in Atlanta. So, well, New Orleans is an African-American city, but we viewed more as a poor city compared to Atlanta. So I'm telling you, Atlanta's very attractive in that regard. So to me, I don't know what Justin Simmons was thinking. I don't know what we offered him, that being the Saints. But if it was the same, I could see why he chose Atlanta just because of past history. Now, Mike, he was making an average of $15 million per year. So basically his salary got cut in half. And the last extension he had signed with the Broncos was 2021. I'm like, the Broncos wanted him because of the salary cap. They let him go.
Bob, but Rick Venturi was telling me the Colts
were after him too.
Well, also after him, they weren't looking at paying. I think he was looking at double digits. He was looking more.
But
in
then
the
you
10
get
range.
Then you're getting close to the season, and it's kind of like in his way, and everything goes well. I think Atlanta might be my best option right now. Yeah. So to me, that it makes sense. I'm just being objective, not you know my who that nation had on, or just where Justin Simmons at, but. Mike, he's a playmaker, like you said. He's intercepted 30 passes. And then you throw in there now a pass rusher. And I've always been a fan of Matthew Judon. Now, they only gave up a third-round pick. I look at Judon. I can remember not last year because he was hurt. But, Mike, in his first two seasons with the Patriots, he had 28 sacks.
He's had 32 in 3 years, and he was hurt last year.
Yeah, that's Mike, finishing with four. He only played in four games last year because he was hurt, but he still had four sacks. So, no, he can get after the opposing quarterback now. Mike, he was the contract dispute with the Patriots. You know, the Patriots are truly rebuilding when you think where they're at. His base salary was $6.5 million, $6.5 million, and he wanted a brand-new contract. If you look at the Falcons, how desperate they were, as much as you look for a safety and that stability there with Justin Simmons, with a pass rusher like Matthew Judon, Mike, they haven't seen an individual like that. You got to go back with their defense. They haven't had a player with double-digit sacks since Vic Beasley in 2016.
The problem with Vic was he could only do it in 1 year.
He did it 1 year. Mike had 15 and a half sacks in 2015.
Man, you think about it. The last consistent pass rusher the Falcons have had, John Abraham.
Yeah.
You're going back quite a few years.
Yeah, yeah.
You're talking about John Abraham, but Vic did it that 1 year.
When you're double digit, 15 and a half sacks. So, no, I listen, I'm a little discouraged because right now when you say the rich get richer or the expectations from a national perspective with Atlanta, but I still say we could split with them. I'm telling you, that would be a big win in the NFC South. If you can figure out, because it's a rivalry type game, just win one of those two games. Don't get swept by Atlanta.
If you win one, I think it'll be the later game.
It doesn't matter. Just if we can just win one.
I get where you're going with it, but
you know, I always say, Mike, you're in the NFC South. You know, can you go 4-2? Year in and year out, can you go 4-2? You can never go 500. Now 5-1's awesome.
Really,
but not to go undefeated, that's not realistic. So if you go 4-2, so let's say expectations for Tampa Bay still there, or you split with Tampa Bay, you split with Atlanta, and you got to beat Carolina twice. Mike, we got to win that first game. Now, but this looking at the NFC South, no, the first game is a must win, even though it's the beginning of the season.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870, and we'll be joined by Deuce McAllister from California, covering the Saints practice sessions right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from California, Deuce McAllister, who covered today's practice session. I think it's number 17. Deuce, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. We already broke the bad news, you know, back-to-back within 36 hours.
Impactful players.
Yeah, Matt Judon.
Our enemy signed.
And so. Justin Simmons lands in Atlanta, and you got other news. I don't know how bad it is, but kind of tell us a little bit about the injury with Fuaga, which seemed to be, from what Dennis Allen was talking about, back problem.
Well, one, is the Simmons news confirmed?
Confirmed.
Confirmed about a half an hour ago,
yeah,
I think.
Confirmed.
Yeah, I see it now. All right, well, hey, you know, hats off to him. Hats off to him. I thought he was a player that could step in and help the Saints. But here's the thing also, if you're being honest with it, I think the Saints defense should be okay even without Justin Simmons. Justin Simmons would have allowed you to probably save one roster spot. If you're looking at it from a personnel standpoint of how they're using their safeties, and you know, Atlanta obviously got better with Judon and Simmons. So, you know, for the Saints, there was a number that they were willing to go, and if it was over that number, or even a year standpoint, I don't know how much more they wanted to move off of that number or years. Kind of a situation, so you know, you'll have to face him twice a year, and you'll go from there. I mean, that's all you really can do at this point.
Well, Deuce, right now, would you agree with this? And no matter who's better, or the perception the Saints are better than the Falcons, or vice versa, I always look at it. It's hard to sweep a team. I don't care how good they are. We got to win one game. We got to win one of the two. And, you know, Tampa Bay, you win one of the two. Then you got to
beat Carolina twice.
Then you're 4-2, and you have a chance for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you always think that you can win at home. You like your odds better at home, and to go on the road, you know, it's always probably going to be a 50-50 type of situation when you go on the road. But it's hard to win both games, but I agree with you 100%. You got to beat Carolina twice, and then, you know, if you can split and even beat one of the other opponent twice, then, you know, that sets you up as far as for winning the division. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mean, but it is hard to beat any team, you know, multiple times in a year just because you are so familiar with them and the personnel. And, you know, a lot of it also depends on when you play a team, who's healthy and who's not available. And is the team in the race? Are they looking forward to the next year, et cetera? So all that comes into place. So
But the Fuaga situation.
Deuce, when you say a back, that's kind of generic. Oh, my back. I mean, there's a lot of different things that can go wrong with your back. You know that. You could be a normal citizen. If your back's hurting, that's not good.
You wake up in the morning, your back hurts. Yeah.
When you old like us three, your back hurts. I'll tell you that. He spoke to the reporters yesterday. He spoke to us yesterday, and you know, he was in a pretty good. I think that was yesterday. If it wasn't yesterday, it was the day before yesterday. But anyway, we just talked to him. The days kind of run together. We just talked to him. He was out at practice. He actually went in right after stretch, etc., with the trainer, and you know that's all you're really going to get. You know, I can't say that it was a weightlifting injury. It may have been something that he strained lifting weights. I'm not sure, but he was able to come out to practice. He was prepared to practice, and then he had to go in, and you know, it was just a back tightness situation. It wasn't there was no contact that had happened since yesterday as far as him hitting, you know, whether you're talking about hitting a sled, hitting another player, or you know, maybe an injury in that form. There was nothing that had happened like that. And so for the Saints, I think obviously they're going to take every precaution in that situation. And you know, if it's tightness in the back, hey, let's see if how loose we can get it, and you know, we'll stretch it, we'll ice it, we'll heat it, and then see how you feel in a couple of hours. So obviously we hadn't had a long history with him. You know, when you talk about like Alvin's situation, this is something that has popped up on Alvin before, so you kind of know how you want to treat it. This is a situation the first time with Fuaga, and so it's kind of them making sure that he is good before he returns to the field of play.
Now, Deuce, I was looking, obviously you want to be ready to roll week one against Carolina. So Fuaga, they want him not necessarily to fight through this. It doesn't count. The game comes Sunday night against the 49ers. And I was looking at the depth chart, how they have it. Would then Landon Young start opposite of Trevor Penning, and then Jesse Davis getting work? What is your take on that if Fuaga can't go?
Can't go win.
On Sunday night. No. Talk about Sunday night.
On Sunday, I think it would be Landon. I think it would be Landon. I think it happened so late in practice, or as far as it didn't happen last night. So it wasn't like I could get another player outside of Landon ready to go. You know, let's just say another guy that they may have. You talk about Jesse Davis.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if Jesse knew that Fuaga wasn't going to be available, you may have put him there, you know, with the ones just to see how he had done. Or even putting Udo there with the ones and just to see how he has done. Udo has played guard, you know, primarily during camp, but he has kicked out to tackle for some reps, you know, when guys have been banged up. But like I said, this happened so late in practice. It was literally while you're stretching. You know, and after stretch, it's like, hey, I got to go in with the trainer. Something's not right. And now from a coaching standpoint, you just go with the next veteran up. And so it wasn't like, hey, look, Landon, you're gonna go with the ones today because we know he's taking a vet day. Like Jamal Williams had a vet day today. And so the young backs, they kind of knew that before they even came out to practice. They knew that they would get an uptick in reps and, you know, I would be running with the ones and different things of that. You knew that in advance of practice. So today, with that situation, that wasn't the case. But if he is not able to go Sunday, I do expect that you will have that lineup of Landon at left tackle and, you know, Trevor
Jesse
will be
Davis
at the right.
Maybe? Or
well, yeah, he would be one of the backups. And then you could, like I said, you could always pop Udo out there at that tackle position. But, you know, at the right side, it would be Trevor Penning.
Now, Deuce, you know, you look quarterback competition, and Derek Carr is the starter. And then we all know Jake Haener, Spencer Rattler, the competition there. So, you know, it's like, it's going to be after the 49ers game. What have you done for me lately? If they could build upon what they did in that Cardinals game on Saturday. But then now you're going against San Fran. You don't have that tape practicing against them. But it seems like Derek Carr has had a quality camp, like a really efficient camp as far as his accuracy. Is that a fair assessment? You know, because when you look at, like, what are you counting on, like, guys and, you know, as far as their individual ability or what's their skill set? That was one thing when you looked at even last year, that how accurate Derek Carr was. You know, I was looking at this completion percentage last year, for instance. Now, I don't think the 49ers might not play a number of starters Sunday night, but whatever. Like, do you know Brock Purdy was fourth in completion percentage at 69.5? Derek Carr was sixth in the whole NFL at 68.5. So that's one thing. It seems like that Derek Carr finished the season. He was accurate. And that has transpired to me in even the OTAs and minicamp and in training camp that Derek Carr has been accurate with the football.
Yeah, I think you know, the biggest thing is being able to move the football. Not, I don't want to say settle for checkdowns, but I don't want to force it as well. And then in this offense particularly, the movement of the pocket is going to help him because, you know, if I get out on the edge in the perimeter, there are level throws, and Bobby, you know this. You've got the flat throw, you've got the 10 yard or
crossing,
15 yard, yeah, the over route, and then you have the deep over,
yeah,
or on the outside, opposite of the field, you may have an alert all the way, you know, and it's hard to hit that alert throw, particularly if it's not going to be a post. But at the end of the day, I have some things in the bag that I can kind of get to as a quarterback, and it's just understanding from a defensive standpoint where my outlets are. And so this offense, it's built off the West Coast. It's not the vertical scheme that we've had in the past. There are vertical shots in it, but a lot of it's based off of the movement of the pocket, the movement, you know, you talk about play action, different things of that nature, and I think that's going to really help him. But, you know, for me, seeing this offense, seeing what they've been doing in camp and even OTAs, it starts with running the football. I mean, if Bobby, if they can't run the football or even have a threat of the run, then it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And Deuce, looking, come, you know, Jordan Mims had opportunity. You look how he ran the ball against the Cardinals. Jamal Williams, what do you think, like, Sunday night? I think Alvin, okay, we need Alvin ready to roll week one. But Kendre Miller, is it kind of still out of sight, out of mind? And it would still be more like 1-2 punch between Jamal Williams and Jordan Mims and maybe a little bit of Robinson or Kubota? How do you view that? Because I understand that, because we have to be able to run the ball and try and establish that, no matter who's in the game. I don't care if it's the second half. Just these individuals to see who maybe they could trust.
Or yeah, James Robinson.
James Robinson would be in that mix, but I don't think that you get Alvin this weekend, particularly if he hadn't practiced, you know, pretty much all week. I don't think that you're going to throw him in there against San Francisco just to what are you proving? What are you proving? So you'll get Jamal, you'll get Mims, you'll get Kubota, Kubota, and then you'll get Robinson. Those will be the guys that carry it this weekend. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they threw some Taysom in there, you know, just to give them the look, just to put it on film so teams have to kind of prepare for it. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be dependent on the backs seeing the hole, offensive line creating the space, and then from a tight end standpoint, tight ends being able to be the extension of the, you know, working with the fullback, offensive line, et cetera.
Now, Deuce, what would you say, like, you look, you know, wide receiver depth. Now, to me, if you're the fourth receiver and the quarterback's throwing you the ball on that play, you're number one. I mean, I don't know, you're in the game and how they count on you. So we know Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed. So how do you view A.T. Perry or Cedric Wilson Jr.? Is it basically, it doesn't matter who's three or four, or if Cedric Wilson's three, A.T. Perry's four, A.T. Perry's three, Cedric Wilson Jr. is four? How do you view that as far as, and then you got St. Brown, he's been dealing with an injury, and then Bub Means, I mean, here's a guy, he showed good in the OTAs.
And then Mason Tipton.
Yeah, so then you got Tipton, and he also had an injury. How do you view that wide receiver room right now heading into the back end or the middle of the preseason?
Still looking. I mean, if I'm being honest, I'm still looking. I think Cedric has been probably the most consistent number three of the guys on the back end. You're looking for Bud. He made a play today, but you're looking for him to continue to stack some days just because he's missed so much time. You like him as a prospect, but at the end of the day, you know, is he honestly going to be one of your top four? Is he honestly going to be one of your top five? I think that's to be determined when you look at it from that standpoint. AT is dealing with the ankle injury, so, you know, he probably won't be available this weekend. And so the question becomes, has he done enough? I mean, and I know you can always go back and say, well, look what he did last year. He wasn't with this coaching staff.
Right.
It was a whole different offensive coaching staff. And so, yeah, my head coach can stand on the table and yell for him. My scouts and my, you know, some of the guys that drafted him, they can stand on the table. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's got to be the OC's decision. It's going to be, you know, the wide receivers coach's decision on how they break that all down. And so, you know, that's probably still a question mark there. And so Mason Tipton was fantastic when he was there. But he hadn't been there.
He's hell in his well.
And so he misses this week. Is he able to come back next week? Can he play? There's a window or gap of about, 7 to 10 days before you play again after that last preseason game until the first game. I mean, I'll put it this way. There's still some opportunity for a lot of guys to be able to qualify or make this team, whether it's receiver room, whether it's running back, whether it's, you know, you're probably looking for some depth at offensive line, defensive line. You're probably set fairly well, particularly if all those guys are healthy. Linebacker, you're looking probably set. You want some of them to get healthy. You want some of them to get healthy. And defensive back, to be honest, you're probably set. You can always look on the market to see if, hey, this player is – clearly better than, you know, XYZ or who we have in already. But to be honest, you're probably set there. In the kicking situation, you know, they're going to let that play out how it is. And, you know, I think they like all four punters and kickers. You know, it's just feeling the most comfortable on who they think they can be the most consistent with.
Now, Deuce, I guess this is looking at the glass half empty instead of half full. But when you look at these two individual players, who would you be most disappointed in? Would it be Isaiah Foskey or Peyton Turner? Or is that a push? Is that because Peyton Turner's been here longer? Isaiah Foskey's maybe trying to get into the swing of things?
If I'm basing it off of expectation and where an individual was drafted, it's probably Peyton Turner. It's Peyton Turner. You know, he's been here a little bit longer, you know, and I think you're probably – it's a push up into the extent. But here's my problem with both of them. After seeing what I've seen, you know, like I said, over the last couple of years as well as during OTAs, it's not a talent issue, Bobby. It's not a talent issue. It's can you stay healthy? And so for Isaiah Foskey, he got a lot more snaps than Peyton Turner last week. And for what he had done.
He didn't even make a stat, though.
That's what I was about to tell you. It didn't transfer over to the game.
I'm like, come on.
What he did in camp leading up to the game, it didn't transfer for him.
Right.
But, I mean, when you go to practice, he's all over the field. He is making play after play after play. But when you got to the game, it didn't transfer. So if it takes him just going out and playing and not thinking about, well, oh, I false stepped. Oh, I didn't do something right here, and I hesitated. He's got to figure out how to let it loose. Peyton Turner, you are talented enough to play. You can make an impact in this league. Question is, one, are you going to get an opportunity? And two, are you healthy?
You got some bad toes.
Hey, put steel toe in some cleats. Let me get a steel toe. Let me go get some iron. Let me go get a softener that I'm going to walk on, and let me go get steel toe. I've got to do something.
Right.
I've got to do something that I feel confident that I can go out there and show that, you know, I was worthy of the first round pick, you know, and I can play in this league because he can play. He can play.
He got talent. Ain't no question about it.
Yeah, I mean, but you got to be healthy.
Yeah, exactly. Deuce.
And then I know you made the comment earlier. We are seeing Kendre work out with the trainers. That's more than it was the last couple of weeks. But, you know, Kendre, man, the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking because you can see the frustration. There's an opportunity for him. He's talented. He can play. Can't figure out how to stay healthy. That's
that ham should be cooked by now.
By now, that thing is baked and beyond.
I agree with you, but I can't tell you how he's feeling, and I can't tell you how he's moving, et cetera. I don't know those answers.
Deuce, one of the things early in training camp, certainly a lot of talk about a couple of guys on the offensive side, the football as undrafted free agents, and Dallin Hoker at tight end, and then certainly Mason Tipton, the wide receiver from Yale. But you watch the game, the one guy on defense, and wouldn't have been on the dance card, Rico Payton from Pittsburgh State. And they went after him. And he was like, okay, keep throwing it my way, and I'll knock it down.
He had the highest Pro Football Focus grade, Deuce.
And so that's impressive to me when you see a young player out on the field. Okay, they test him a little bit, and then they come back, and you could almost see the confidence growing in him. Okay, if you want to play that way, keep throwing it my way. But Rico Payton on the dance card, he wasn't high on the list, and you look at how he played against Arizona. Again, a lot of it was against Desmond Ritter and Clayton Tune. But still, he was making plays in the secondary.
Made some plays, but the reason he had the high snap count, my number one corner didn't play.
That's right.
my number two corner didn't play. And, obviously, you threw, as the coaches call him, they call him DeQuincy. They don't really call him Kool-Aid. They threw him in there, and then Alante Taylor has looked outstanding on the outside. But those young corners, they're going to get a chance to be able to go and showcase. And I expect the same thing for him this weekend. They're going to get a chance to play. They are going to get a chance to play just because I don't think that you'll have Adebo and I don't think that you'll have Lattimore this weekend. Now, I think that you will have them, obviously, the third game, and that'll be a question for the coaches of whether or not they throw them in there for a series or not. But, they'll be ready to go during the regular season. But those young corners get a chance to make some plays. And here's the interesting thing. They have been going against the ones. And so they've been going against Rashid. They've been going against Chris Olave. So you're not seeing any better talent than what you go against in practice. And, Rico Payton has made some plays.
And, dudes, you know who's the most productive practice squad player to me? And what he's actually done in preseason games is Nick Lelos. I don't know whoever he's going against. He gets sacks or tackles for a loss. Quarterback Harry, he had a sack. What was the game last year? Didn't he have like three sacks?
He had three of them.
And then
now
he got a sack, a quarterback Harry, a tackle for a loss. I mean, I'm looking again. I mean, that might be maybe his whole career out of Dartmouth. He's a second-year veteran. But it's like he plays hard, practices hard. I mean, Deuce, as far as production, and it could be in the third or fourth quarter, might be in the Titans. I would say if he's in the game against the Titans,
he's going to make a play.
He's going to make a play. Yeah, right.
Well, here's what it tells you. The guys that he's going against, he's better than.
No question.
But when you get up to that next level, he's not quite there yet.
Whether it's
strength, whether it's speed, whether it's technique. The guys that I'm going against that you're putting me out here with, I'm better than these guys. I'm going to make a play. But then I go to that next tier where it's against the starters or guys that could spot play. I have to have everything perfect for me to be able to make a play. And so he's doing it the right way, though. I mean, he's working on the little things, getting better. But, I mean, when his number's called, he's making a play.
Well, all I know is I wish, like, Peyton Turner or Isaiah Foskey would be on the back end of the game and have that kind of production.
Well, Foskey was in the back end of the game, and he didn't do anything.
That's what I'm saying. Whatever.
Deuce, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Appreciate it, bud.
No problem, fellas.
All right,
thanks so much. Saints radio color analyst Deuce McAllister from California on Practice 17 for the Saints. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike to tell you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy and with Mike and also Bobby.
Hey, guys. A question, and I'll tie this into the untimely injury to J.J. McCarthy, the rookie.
With the Vikings,
Bobby. He's out before the season even started. obviously that's good news for my boy Nick Mullins from Southern Miss. He was on the bubble. They had four quarterbacks. Now I'm going to tie this into the Saints. Knowing that our offensive line has some quote-unquote question marks, and I know that two of the three quarterbacks, I mean, I'm not going to include Taysom Hill in this. I know he's kind of an emergency.
No, that's a good thing the Saints have him, I think.
Yeah, I think so, Bobby. But let me say this. Do you guys think, I mean, you know, people are like, well, who's going to be QB2? I mean, it looks like to me both Haener and Rattler are going to be on the active roster based on the offense. I mean, you see what happened with the Vikings. And, again, looking at the, you know, Derek Carr is going to get hit a lot. And he's going to hear the footsteps. And the way things are playing out, like Bobby said, we saw Trevor Penning on the ground a lot. I hope that changes. I hope Chase Young doesn't beat him for three sacks every practice. Is that Trevor Penning not being up to par, or is that because Chase Young's a beast? I don't know. All I'm saying is it looks like we're going to
be a little bit of both. It could be a little bit of both. I mean, if Chase Young is turning that corner and his neck's fine, no, I'm not saying you beat him 3 out of 3, but I would still expect Chase Young to beat Trevor 2 out of 3. You know, I think he'd have the edge on him. I don't know about 3 out of 3. That ain't good for the tackle, so. But I don't know, Jimmy. You said, like, you know.
Listen, we're getting to the point of no return with Trevor Penning now. I think you're to that point as a coaching staff. I think we all have our feelings a little different, maybe as media people. But as a coaching staff, you're to the point of no return. Either he starts producing on the field or you got to get somebody else. And it's obvious he's not going to get too much better than what you've seen. I think it's between his ears, to be honest with you. It, just everything, his setup, his technique is has never gotten better. It looks like the same Trevor Penning we saw a year ago, the exact same guy. You're going to have to go out and get your veteran tackle.
Or maybe call back James Hurst or something. I don't know.
Well, let's see if James, he ain't getting beat up with Fletcher and Coach Moore on Channel 6.
The only thing is they got the veteran backup, Udo, Ali Udo, then Landon Young. But like Coach Allen said, no, he'd give them every opportunity, you know, to beat out Trevor Penning. But, Mike, they all haven't really.
None of them have.
Like, if you look at Pro Football Focus, not the gospel, but they evaluate every snap. And Trevor Penning, I want to say he graded like in the 40s, and Landon Young graded in the 30s against the Cardinals. So that ain't good. So it'd be interesting to see. I wonder if Dennis Allen would ever have a Sean Payton statement. Remember when we had that Rams tackle? You know, I remember singing like Charlie Brown. He's a clown. And the whole thing, he was a second-round pick in 2010, and he was finally given a shot to start left tackle in 2013, and they played the Rams. And he had to go against Robert Quinn. And it was a disaster. And then all of a sudden, that's when Sean Payton says, I saw enough, period.
You're to that point.
With Dennis, I don't know if Dennis Allen has that personality, if you'd ever say with Trevor Penning, I saw enough.
We'll be back.
Turning the page.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this break on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Want to thank Deuce McAllister staying on with us for about 25 minutes, breaking down the Saints training camp practice number 17 today. At 5:20, we'll be talking to Chris Dotson, who covers the Pelican for Clutch Points, talking about the Pelican schedule, which came out today. Take a good look at who they play at and who they play in the month of February. That is something to watch on that schedule. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy, you know, with Mike and also Bobby.
Hey, guys. A question, and I'll tie this into the, you know, untimely injury to J.J. McCarthy, you know, the rookie.
With the Vikings, the season, yeah.
Bobby. He's out before the season even started. Obviously, that's good news for my boy Nick Mullins from Southern Miss. He was on the bubble. They had four quarterbacks. Now, I'm going to tie this into the Saints. Knowing that our offensive line has some quote-unquote question marks, and I know that two of the three quarterbacks, I mean, I'm not going to include Taysom Hill in this. I know he's kind of an emergency.
No, that's a good thing the Saints have him, I think.
Yeah, I think so, Bobby. But let me say this. Do you guys think, I mean, you know, people are like, well, who's going to be QB2? I mean, it looks like to me both Haener and Rattler are going to be on the active roster based on the offense. I mean, you see what happened with the Vikings. And, again, looking at the, you know, Derek Carr is going to get hit a lot. And he's going to hear the footsteps. And the way things are playing out, like Bobby said, we saw Trevor Penning on the ground a lot. I hope that changes. I hope Chase Young doesn't beat him for 3 sacks every practice. Is that Trevor Penning not being up to par, or is that because Chase Young's a beast? I don't know. All I'm saying is it looks like we're going to need
a little bit of both. It could be a little bit of both. I mean, if Chase Young is turning that corner and his neck's fine, no, I'm not saying you beat him 3 out of 3, but I would still expect Chase Young to beat Trevor 2 out of 3. You know, I think he'd have the edge on him. I don't know about 3 out of 3. That ain't good for the tackle, so. But I don't know, Jimmy. You say, like, you know.
Listen, we're getting to the point of no return with Trevor Penning now. I think you're to that point as a coaching staff. I think we all have our feelings a little different, maybe as media people. But as a coaching staff, you're to the point of no return. Either he starts producing on the field or you got to get somebody else. And it's obvious he's not going to get too much better than what you've seen. I think it's between his ears, to be honest with you. It just everything, his setup, his technique has never gotten better. It looks like the same Trevor Penning we saw a year ago, the exact same guy. You're going to have to go out and get your veteran tackle.
Or maybe call back James Hurst or something. I don't know.
Let's see if James, he ain't getting beat up with Fletcher and Coach Moore on Channel 6.
The only thing is they got the veteran backup, Ali Udo, then Landon Young. But like Coach Allen said, no, he'd give them every opportunity, you know, to beat out Trevor Penning. But, Mike, they all haven't really.
None of them have.
Like, if you look at Pro Football Focus, not the gospel, but they evaluate every snap. And Trevor Penning, I want to say he graded like in the 40s, and Landon Young graded in the 30s against the Cardinals. So that ain't good. So it'd be interesting to see. I wonder if Dennis Allen would ever have a Sean Payton statement. Remember when we had that Rams tackle? You know, I remember singing like Charlie Brown. He's a clown. And the whole thing, he was a second-round pick in 2010, and he was finally given a shot to start left tackle in 2013, and they played the Rams. And he had to go against Robert Quinn. And it was a disaster. And then all of a sudden, that's when Sean Payton says, I saw enough, period.
You're to that point.
With Dennis, I don't know if Dennis Allen has that personality, if he'd ever say with Trevor Penning, I saw enough.
We'll be back.
Turning the page.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this break on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Want to thank Deuce McAllister staying on with us for about 25 minutes, breaking down the Saints training camp practice number 17 today. At 5:20, we'll be talking to Chris Dotson, who covers the Pelican for Clutch Points, talking about the Pelican schedule, which came out today. Take a good look at who they play at and who they play in the month of February. That is something to watch on that schedule. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.